Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Text Number 59. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That Nar Narayan Rishi, who is partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru, in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world. Purport. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Nar is the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus the energy and the energetic together are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maitreya informed Vidura that Nar, the portion of Narayan, has appeared in the family of the Kurus, and that Narayan, the plenary expansion of Krishna, has come as Krishna. Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the purpose of delivering suffering humanity from the pangs of material burdens. In other words, Narayan Rishi was now present in the world in the forms of Krishna and Arjun. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamshtra Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinavine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Vancha Kalpataru Vishakrupa Sindhubhyevacha Patita dam pavane bhyo Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripri Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So yesterday we were discussing about the creation from the personality perspective. In the Vedic literature, we see that every character, everything is not seen from a material perspective. Matter is also seen as spirit. Many times Prabhupada would discuss with his disciples, everything is Chinmoy. Right? So, from that perspective, when we see here in the Bhagavatam 4th canto, Maitreya Rishi is speaking to Vidur about the creation. And every qualities, Daksha Prajapati had 16 daughters, and of those 16 daughters, 13. And they are all, very interestingly, they are all connected to qualities. Shubha, Maitri, all these qualities. When they are married to Dharma, then their quality becomes perfected. Otherwise, all qualities without in connection to Krishna or Dharma, like in the Mahabharata, there is a verse which says that Yato Dharma Tato Jaya and Yato Krishna Tato Dharma. Wherever there is Dharma, there you will find Krishna or victory. And wherever there is Krishna, there is victory. Again, the same principle what Sanjay spoke to Dhritarashtra. No, Dhritarashtra raised this question in the very first chapter. No. Apparently that question looked very stupid. What did my sons and the sons of Pandu do after being assembled on the battlefield? Very stupid question in one sense. But he is not stupid, he is a politician. Therefore, there was a lot of hopes, as we discussed yesterday, that Dhritarashtra psychologically created feeling of guilt in the Pandavas. Why you want to create this war? You know, you are good people, you are nice people, you are non-violent people. You know how to beg also, continue begging. Right, somebody was telling me, when the Germans attacked the Britain, Mahatma Gandhi wrote a letter to Louis Pasteur, saying that, you know what, he said, let the German attack. Because if you retaliate, then there will be huge bloodshed. Let them conquer your countries. Let them conquer your cities. Because if you try to live, you'll cause death to others. He said, I'll give you something better. And then Louis Pasteur wrote him back. He said, Gandhiji, you're not teaching how to live. You're teaching how to die. So therefore, Dhritarashtra was hoping that the Pandavas will retrieve. They will go back. They will not fight. So there was hope, there was fear that the holy place, in the very first purport, Prabhupada writes all this, in the holy place, Dhritarashtra was feeling that unfortunately the holy place might affect the Pandavas positively. It would cause victory to them. So therefore he raised this question. And Sanjay concludes in the 18th chapter like a pre-poll. You know, your election is coming back, right? So there is always pre-poll, what's going to happen. So Sanjay told Dhritarashtra, my dear master, you know, there is no hope for you. Because wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjuna, there is guarantee of victory. Not only victory, there is morality also, because victory is never always achieved with morality. There is victory, there is morality, there is prosperity, and there is peace also. So therefore there is no hope for you. So therefore here all these qualities in relation to Krishna, they are beautiful. Without Krishna, they become binding. We see many people, like I gave the example of Mahatma Gandhi, great personality. If you see Prabhupada also, in Juhu, Radharas Bihari temple, he came from one morning walk where he was arguing against the philosophy of Mahatma Gandhi. But when he came in the complex, he saw the statue, he went, folded his hands. Sometimes, you know, we devotees have a isolated vision. If you are against, means you are angry with them. If you have another opinion, that means you are not with them. You are against them. In the Bhagavatam again, Prabhupada explains, when Prahlad Maharaj, very interestingly, he writes beautifully, Prahlad had another opinion. He did not agree with the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. He says Prahlad was non-cooperative with the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. But he did not do, you know, arrogantly. He says still he was humble and meek towards his father. Now harmonizing these two conflict is not easy, but unless we do it, it is not yoga. To create conflict in this world is very easy. Kalair dosha nidhi raja nastyek mahan guna. To see fault, to see something else which is not based upon what I see, even the color of the wall also we can argue. Right. Like when we, in our temple, we have devotees from all background, from all states. We have devotees from Odisha to Kerala. And their eating habits are completely different. We have Punjabis, right? They like parota and dahi. And we have Keralites who like dahi rice. Right? So no cook. We may have the ISO 9004 or 9006, I don't know. But no cook has ever been possibly at one time pleased all the devotees. Because if you make a Punjabi, Keralite will say, I don't like it. That is part of life, because every time you have something what you like and something you don't like. So therefore these qualities also, when we become bound by these qualities, we argue about them. Gandhiji's non-violence became cause of the greatest violence. Somebody wrote, What if Lord Buddha had come to the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Arjuna asked this question, "My dear Lord, I am confused about my duties." He would say, "You are not confused, you are enlightened now. This is the goal of life, to walk away from life. Move away, that's very good." So another perspective only. Right? Because when you are bound by certain qualities, to prove that quality, you will make anything and everything. Therefore Krishna or Dharma here, for that matter, they make qualities flexible rather than frozen. When the qualities are connected to something right, something good, Krishna or Dharma, then what does it do? That very quality becomes very auspicious. And that's what we are saying here, all these qualities. So today we will see from the quality number 6. When Dharma married to Pushti, Pushti in material sense, Pushti means nourishment. One can be nourished by anything. Right, Prabhupada gave the example of a pig. You don't see pig ever being psychologically off. There is no mental problem. The pig is not feeling, you know, my life is so bad, I have to consume something which is not consumable. No, it is very happy. I think Prabhupada said, if you put halwa, he may say, what is this? So you can eat and be nourished, but what is that nourishment? It is not about being nourished physically. It is not about nourished being, having lots of information. I remember in our school, we talked to the children. Many parents feel that the modern children are more intelligent. They are very sharp, they are very bright. If they are 3 years old, they will question you. They say, very good, people have questioning now. But somebody said that what 100 years ago, what people had the information for 100 years, if they would live for 100 years, those kind of information the children have it in 7 days. Just imagine, information, no transformation. Mahabharata explains that somebody carries unlimited information, he is nothing but an intellectual hamal. Hamal means a coolie carrying so much of load. Right. So therefore, one could be nourished physically stout and strong. One could be nourished because of information. But if that nourishment is not connected to dharma, then that very nourishment will only cause abhiman, pride, arrogance. I am superior to everybody else. To the extent when I feel that I am superior, I don't mind smashing somebody else physically, intellectually, emotionally, you know, wipe out the race also. Right? That if I feel that your race should not exist in this world, then killing also does not cause any pain. You know, like when we kill, people kill animals. They feel they are meant for our enjoyment. One great saint, Tukaram Maharaj, says, he said, can you imagine such a contrast? Even a butcher, when he's sharpening his knife, he's careful not to cut his finger. Because he knows the pain of the bleeding. He said he's very careful cutting when he's sharpening. But that very butcher, while he's very careful not to cut his finger, he's butchering the animals. He said this is called as Maya. He said they cannot see the connection between the two. So therefore, the nourishment without dharma makes one very proud. Abhiman ko badata hai. But when it is connected to dharma, that gives rise to confidence. So whenever Prabhupada spoke for non-devotee, those who are not matured, it may sound he is too brash, he is too arrogant. Why can't he speak softly? Many times people don't understand softly. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, if you see, if you want to fight the opposite warrior, it is explained, war doesn't only happen with weapons. One of the way to fight enemy is to speak boldly. There was a war of words. One time when Arjuna and Karna were fighting with each other, it was like a final battle. Very beautiful description. Even the war description is very aesthetic in the scriptures. If you see Hanumanji jumping, across the ocean, that description is very poetic. There is lot of violence, but in that violence also beauty is there. So that is the contrast. So Karna and Arjuna were staring at each other. In Hindi they call kyure akadta. You know, staring at each other for long time, and eventually Karna's eyes got closed. And Krishna staring at Shalya. And how can Shalya stare at Krishna? You know, his sun and moon. Within no time his eyes got closed. So therefore, confidence is very important. There is assertiveness, there is offensiveness, and there is defensiveness. A defensiveness is caused because we are apologetic. You know, I am doing something wrong. You know, what people if they watch me chanting Hare Krishna? Many times our students, when they come to the temple, they are bright tilak, kanti. When they go out, of course, sometime I think it is better not to put in a public place. You know, because people can misuse that also. So they are, if you are having a right understanding, it's okay to remove your tilak. You know, but if you are afraid, oh, what people will think, then that is like being apologetic that you are doing something wrong. So therefore, when pushti is connected to dharma, that gives rise to pride. It's not false pride, it is right kind of pride. Therefore, somebody is next. So therefore, identity is very important. You know, we always see, even though Prabhupada said, we are not this body, we are spirit soul, but many times he did use. He said, what is the point if you are Indians if you don't take to Krishna consciousness? He said, what is the point if you are American if you don't do something big? Because we may say we are not this body, but we have one. You know, we have this body. If you say, I am not this body and you are not using your body, then you are like ghost. Because ghosts, neither they are on the spiritual platform, neither they have a bodily platform, therefore they are nor here or there, therefore, you know, they haunt others. Therefore, not having an identity, one of the biggest problem, identity crisis, the third standard student in our school asks, Prabhuji, what am I doing here? The confusion. But if there is an identity, I know this is my contamination, this is my position, I am this body, I have this body, not I am this body. I have this body, I am in this body, I am a woman's body, I am man's body. Using it for the right cause, what does it do? It gives rise to proper understanding. Therefore we see, I remember seeing one, somebody sent me an article or a video clipping of this, the BBC channel which talks about big questions. And there was this debate about race, religion and spirituality. Even though you are practicing Krishna consciousness, sometime even if you go to Vrindavan, there is a group, Bengali group, Odia group and Bihari group. Or I don't hear what happens, you know, the Irish group, the Scottish group and the British group. Welsh. Right. So that identity is there. And if we get stuck with that identity, we don't grow. But if we use that identity, we grow. Therefore, there is constitutional, conditional and circumstantial position. Again, we see conditional position is that our conditional nature, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and Brahmana. And that is also not very black and white. If you see Kundali, your Jatak. In Jatak Patraka, it is very interesting. Nobody mentions your Jati, the place where you are born. Never it is mentioned like that. What is mentioned in the Kundali is that your Varna. You may be born in Patel family. You may be born in Lord's family. You may be born in Sharma family, which is Brahmana. But your Varna could be Shudra. Your Varna could be Kshatriya. Your Gana, then there is Devagana, there is Rakshas Gana, and there is Manushya Gana. You may be born in Brahman Varna, but your Rakshas, you may have a Rakshas Gana also, just like Ravan, Brahma Rakshas. He is born in a Brahman family, but terrific Rakshas. And then there is yoni. We have this manushya yoni, but our mind frame could be the yoni of horse. Like Prabhupada explained, that if you are in sattvaguna, that means your previous life could be. He's not saying black and white. He said could be cow. Rajogun could be tiger. And restless means monkey. No? So this yonis, he talks about that. So there is so much of, that is the conditional nature based upon our background, our mind, intelligence and false ego. And there is another one which is called a circumstantial nature, which is apad dharma. There is swarup dharma, there is swabhava dharma, and there is apad dharma. Apad dharma is what? Apad dharma means performing an emergency role. Nowadays everybody acts only on emergency platform. And therefore there is no stability. Emergency means what? I never wanted to be a doctor, but I am a doctor now. I remember one devotee, he is an engineer, not only engineer, he is a professor, not only a professor, he is the head of the department, not only head of the department, for 7 years he has been awarded as the best engineering professor, and every time he tells me, I don't know why the hell I am teaching in engineering college. I never wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to do something in accountancy. The very professor who is awarded, he never likes his profession. Pandavas, in emergency, they became brahmanas. They were begging. When they came to Draupadi Swayamvar, they were like beggars. And then again, when they were in incognito, can you imagine the great kings? Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Chakravarti Raja, he became ordinary, advisor to his king, Virat. Arjun, such a great warrior. His Gandiva is only equal to Lord's bow. That Arjuna, he had to become a eunuch and teach dancing to the girls of Uttara, to Virat. When he can string his bow and show his confidence, he has to very delicately string the veena. Because Pandavas were trained in their constitutional nature, in their conditional nature, and they were also trained to deal with the emergencies. So therefore, when dharma is connected to the pushti, then it gives rise to smaya, confidence, where one can deal with all kinds of situation. Next daughter, her name was Kriya. Prabhupada in Bhakti Rasamrita Sundari explains about Kriya Yoga. That means devotional service. Devotional service means what? It is bhakti is not simply sentiments. Bhakti is actually cultivation. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, there is action. Right? It is not just feeling. Feeling is there. Sentiments are there, but it is not sentimental. So dharma, when it is married to kriya, action, then that dharma gives rise to yoga. In the first chapter, many times people ask this question, how is that first chapter is named as Arjuna Vishada Yoga? Now Vishad is not yoga, Vishad is rog. Lamentation is never considered as yoga unless that lamentation is connected in separation of Krishna. So Arjuna is lamenting, he is confused, he does not know what is his duty, Karpanya Dosha Pahata Swabhava, Krishna, I am confused about my duties, I don't know what to do. But because that shoka, if you read in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is Dhritarashtra's lamentation, there is Duryodhana's lamentation, and there is Arjuna's lamentation. But Duryodhana, I remember one devotee was saying, Duryodhana is so arrogant. He would never express his feelings to anybody, the feelings of pain. He didn't want anybody above him. Even therefore, when somebody would carry umbrella over him, he said, no, remove it. Sometimes people could be so pervert. So he would never want anybody to know about his pain, because he would think that if I tell people about my pain, they might exploit me. I read somewhere, the Chinese dictator Mao Zedong, when people would come to see him when he was sick, The doctors would come, they would see his reports. After seeing his report, they would test him. After testing him, they would give the report, but they would never go back to their home because Mao would get them killed. He said, because he's a doctor, he knows all my weaknesses, so he cannot go back home. So he should create proper report so that the next doctor comes and sees and he does not go back. There were kings like that. And we also see when we expose our limitations, our pains, our challenges, sometime, nowadays it's very difficult. You know, when you tell people, people could write mail. Now you tell people, it could next day only go all over WhatsApp and Facebook. You know, dadati pratigrahanati ghuyam akyati prachati ghuyam becomes one website only. People take pleasure in talking. So therefore, for Arjuna to have that courage to speak to Krishna, having full confidence that my weakness will not be exploited by Krishna, that's a great quality of Arjuna. Therefore, that vishada, which is expressed to a right person, Krishna, that vishada became yoga. No, that action. So therefore, we see that in the Bhagavad Gita, again in the 18th chapter, we'll deal on the last wife of Dharma. But here Krishna in the 18th chapter explains, for every cause there are five, for every action there are five causes. Place of action, instrument to perform that action, and then the work itself, and the person's involvement, these are the four immediate causes. The performer, the place of action, the instruments to perform, and then involvement, my heart in performing it. And the fifth one is Daiva. Daiva is remote cause, and these four are immediate cause. When these two are combined, like again, Damodar Lila, right, two fingers too short, our endeavor is there, and then Krishna's mercy is there. Only mercy and no endeavor, we'll go to sleep. Only endeavor and no mercy, then we will go to depression only. Because we cannot reach the goal without the blessings of the Lord. But if there is no endeavor from our side, we will squander the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, action has to be there. That action, if it is not connected to Dharma or Krishna, what does it do? Mogasha, moga karmano, mogi jnana vichetasa, asurim rakshasam chaiva, mohinim shrita. That all that endeavor efforts become not only useless, they become destructive. A very interesting one point in the Mahabharata. Sometimes we see there are a lot of contradictory instructions in the Shastras. Sometimes we see Prabhupada talking about same situation but giving different instruction to two different devotees. You see this in the Mahabharata also. Very fascinating. After the war was over, Dhritarashtra met with Vidur. He said, my dear Vidur, tell me why this happened to me. Why did I lose all my sons? He said, which is more important? Whether Purusharta, my endeavor, or Daiva, or my Purva Samskar, my Purva Karma. Vidur said, my dear brother, you know what? He said, Purva Karma or Daiva has got many factors. God is the most important factor. You know what? He said, you fought against Daiva. Your Daiva was, you are not supposed to be the king. Daiva of your son, that he was not supposed to be the king. But you fought against it. You did so much of Purushartha, it all went wrong. Therefore, my dear Dhritarashtra, Daiva is superior to Purushartha. At the same time as Dhritarashtra was trying to overcome his lamentation, Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting. What was his lamentation? His lamentation was that, why did I fought this war? I caused so much of pain. I killed so many people. I don't want to be the king. So eventually Krishna tried to convince him, Pandavas tried to convince him, Vyasdev tried to convince him, Draupadi tried to convince him. Nobody could convince because Krishna wanted Bhishma to convince him. So when he came to Bhishma, it's a beautiful talk between Yudhishthira Maharaj and our Bhishma Dev. And those discussion is the most wonderful management book of life. You name all the managers in the world, but you go to that discussion between Bhishma. Discussion ranges from everything, from the Vaishnava Dharma to Stri Dharma. You know, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked such practical question. I'm not going to go into all the detail. One question he asked, he said, "My dear Bhishma Dev, daughter and son both belong to the father, but why the inheritance goes to the son? Why not to the daughter?" Very relevant question. Right? You don't need to go back to the modern people. Oh, you know, we are there to make it happen. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question and Bhishma beautifully answered this question, but we'll not go there. Suspense. Huh? Next one. Dharma and Unnati. Now, Unnati and Avanati. Unnati means progress and Avanati means regress. You know, Lanka, if you study Ramayana, there is Lanka, there is Kishkinda, and there is Ayodhya. Ayodhya is a place of culture. Kishkinda is a place of animalistic nature other than Hanumanji and Jambavan. And Lanka is like, you know, perverted. Prakriti, Vikriti and Sanskriti. In Sanskriti there is cooperation. In nature there is competition. Survival of the fittest. And in demonic nature, you know, there is complete control over everybody else. And if you study the city of Lanka, Ramayana describes that Lanka was unconquerable. Lanka's security was so good. It was so good that nobody could come inside, nobody could go out. There was no bribery in Lanka. Sounds very good, right? Very progressive city. Like recently one devotee was telling me he has a business in Japan. He said, you know what, Japan is considered as one of the most very, very good working country. Their working principles, you know, their trains work very good. You tell it is coming at 9:20 and your house is 20 minutes away from the train station. You don't have to prepare to go to train station one day early. Or 3 hours before. In Mumbai it happens many times. Yesterday only some devotees, they missed their flight to come to New York. Because they thought we will reach in 2 hours. Sometime it can go long. So in Japan everything works so nicely. You can reach there and you will never miss the train. You will never miss the flight. But because it is such a coherent country, everything goes so nicely, that gives rise to monotonousness. And therefore Japan is considered as the country where highest number of suicide take place. Highest number of people commit suicide. Why? Because there is unnati, there is progress, there is technological advancement, but that technological advancement is not connected to dharma. So therefore, what does it do? It creates such a problem. Or it gives rise to overconfidence. Therefore, Darpa is explained as not only pride, but darpa is also some kind of, you know, enthusiasm. Like Rupa Goswami explains, utsaha nishchaya dhairyad. Right? Utsaha without dhairya could give rise to passion. Dhairya, patience, we will come to that also. One quality of Daksha Prajapati's daughter is kshema or titiksha. So titiksha is patience. But waiting for 300 years doing nothing is not patience. No. Doing something with proper understanding gives rise to success. So Hanumanji's enthusiasm in burning Lanka, Arjuna's valor fighting against Karna, you know, that confidence, that enthusiasm was there. Therefore there was success. And the next quality is buddhi. When dharma is married to buddhi, now buddhi is considered as wisdom, understanding and application. Right, understanding and application. Logic, intelligence, intellect, without bhavana. You know, knowledge without emotions is dry. And emotions without knowledge is sentimental. And knowledge which is connected to dharma, buddhi is connected to dharma, it gives rise to artha. Remember, Prabhupada said, if you have money, that means you are intelligent. In one sense, it is true. Therefore, the Ramayana and Mahabharata both explain very beautiful discussion between Ram and Bharat when they came to Chitrakut mountain when Bharat wanted Ram to come back. So they don't discuss about coming back. First they discuss about governance. We read this verse that good governance, good governance, good governance. The entire avatara, the whole concept of avatara, yada yadai dharmasya glani. From an external point of view, whenever the avataras have to come, from an external point of view, they come to establish good governance, dharma. So therefore, Ram and Bharat discuss. Ram tells Bharat, Bharat, now you are the king of Ayodhya. You should study, such a beautiful management. Lord Ram tells Bharat, however good king you are, he said, if you do not pay the salary to your workers at the right time, they will rebel against you. You can't win over people by saying, I am such a good leader, but I don't pay salary to my people. Ram told Bharat, you should see that how much you make them work and appropriate salary you should give to the people. You make them work harder and give less salary, that gives rise to communism. Right, capitalism gives rise to communism. And what does communism do? Communism creates poverty equally. Because it is against dharma. Whether it is capitalism or communism, they are against each other. They are not towards dharma. Therefore, they will create a war against each other. Neither communism or capitalism. How much Prabhupada discussed about this? And therefore, he spoke about varnashram. Therefore, here, Ram told, my dear, very beautiful. I love this one. He said, Bharat, dharma ke karan, artha ka nash nahi hona chahiye. Because of dharma, artha should not be destroyed, and because of artha, dharma should not be destroyed. Narad Muni spoke this to Yudhishthira Maharaj during the Rajasuya sacrifice. Back in India, you know, there is a big propaganda about stopping the cow slaughter, and we are all for it. Officially, ISKCON India has sent its message that we are for cow protection. You know, we want cow to be protected. Recently, there was a seminar conducted in Pune temple. Pune temple, government of Maharashtra, and some science organization which is working on cow-based research. So it is easy for me to go to village and talk about cow protection to the farmers. Our devotees go from, you know, vehicle to vehicle, preaching village to village. They have everything in their car. You know, nice prasadam is there. Bisleri water is there. Right? Because you are fearful that water is not good. But when you go and speak to the villagers, you know, if you kill a cow, as many hairs are there on the body of a cow, that many times you'll have to come back to this world. To speak this is very easy. But many places in the villages, there is no water to drink for the people. I remember I was telling to some children in Detroit, I was telling them the story in the villages, you know, sometime if you go, there is no water. When people go to respond to the call of nature, they use soil to clean themselves. And what was the response of the student? They said, Prabhuji, why can't they use tissue paper? When you become so isolated, you don't understand the feeling, the situation of the other people. Therefore, to speak idealism about protection of the cows, but not providing that facility for them, is as violent as killing the cow. As far as I understand when I saw all these people. So therefore, cow protection without facilitating the cow protection, it will never work. They don't want to kill. No farmer would ever want to kill his animal. But if you go and see, it's extremely challenging and extremely difficult. So therefore, along with the cow protection, there has to be a facility. Therefore, here Ram is telling Bharat, he says, in the name of idealism, it should not destroy stable life. And in the name of stable light, we should not destroy our spiritual culture. Yesterday we were discussing adarsha or idealism without practicality is suicidal, and practicality without idealism is murder. Harmonizing the two is most important. Therefore, real buddhi, we see here, is to understand the principle of application. Therefore, when we marry our buddhi to dharma, what does it do? It gives the principle of application, like Arjuna, you know, in the Mahabharata, very beautiful, when Dronacharya was stuck, he was calling out, help, 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 the crocodile caught him. Everybody wanted to help, but they didn't know how to help. At that time, when somebody is suffering, and they need your actual help, yes, you should chant Narsingarthi, no doubt. But along with Narsingarthi, you should go and do something. Therefore, Krishna says, Tasma Sarveshu Kaleshu, Ma Manusmara Yuddhacha. There has to be smaran and there has to be action. So what Arjun did? Instantly pulled out his bow and he had to shoot in such a way, only crocodile has to be shot, not Dronacharya. Many times it happens, instead of crocodile, you know, Dronacharya gets killed. So that buddhi Arjuna had because he was always connected to dharma. And next one is Medha. So when dharma got married to Medha, that gave rise to Smriti. And Smriti is explained as recollecting. And Medha is understanding. The Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature, when they analyze buddhi, they define buddhi in so many different ways. No? Like, we again read in India, because you know, Mahabharata and Ramayana are the most famous book. The most kathas happen with Bhagavatam without much controversy. But all the controversies are with Mahabharata and Ramayana. Some of the biggest people, whether it is Gandhiji, whether it is Tilak. I was recently, somebody sent me an article wherein Gandhiji said, if actually ever Mahabharata war took place, you know, if it ever happened, I would be ashamed to call myself as a follower of Sanatan Dharma. For me, Krishna is a concept. It cannot be possible the land of Ahimsa ever created such a war. He said, I would never claim myself to be a Hindu if this ever happened. So that is, you know, there is a problem with the Medha, because it is not connected to dharma. That Medha is connected to only non-violence, non-violence, non-violence. Therefore, to prove your non-violence, you have to create imagination about something which is real. So therefore, there is always a conflict. So here we see, one of the beautiful examples is Arjuna and Karna. When Arjuna learned from his guru Dronacharya, Dronacharya gave him the benediction of knowledge remaining fresh. Fresh means what? Ability to apply. And Karna was cursed by his guru Parshuram that at the right time when you need it the most, when your presentation is about to start, the laptop fails. When you have to go for most important program, your car fails. I remember in, you know, we do a lot of work with education also. One very, very well-researched person in education, she was telling, those who get 90+ percentage in 10th standard or 12th standard exam, they made some of them reappear on the same paper after 3 days. What they get 93%, they came down to 55%. Why? Because they learned so much, they collected all the information and they vomited in the paper. It did not become retention, it became information, learn it and throw it out. In Andhra Pradesh, which is considered as the highest number of engineering colleges are there. I read in an article which says that 90% of the engineers are not employable. Forget that. This is, last year there was a conference, you know, arranged by one devotee doctor. It was an international conference on the child cardiac problem. children have a cardiac problem. This lady is a cardiac specialist. And the discussion was happening. They said, every year 400 doctors in America commit suicide. Every day about 7,000 students drop out of the school. One American devotee was telling me, there are more than 100,000 soldiers are homeless. Every day 5 to 7 soldiers attempt to commit suicide. They want to commit suicide. In our Kota in India, Kota is a place where a lot of children want to go and try to attempt for, you know, IIT exam, international exams and medical exam. It's a very painful. The city head, a CEO or a district collector, he sent one message. He had so many letters come to him, hundreds of letters, very beautifully written. But what was the content of the letter? Why am I committing suicide? The Kota is a place where lots of children are committing suicide, and plus depression is very high. Just see the ability to handle diversity or difficulty so much, they prefer to commit suicide rather than survive. So therefore, the information is there, but application is not there. Therefore, Karna, when it was his final battle, he couldn't fight only. He couldn't take right decision. And this is the beauty of Krishna, because Krishna was blessed by his guru. You know, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, when Sudama and Krishna did render service to their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni blessed them. What did he bless them? He said, whatever Vedic knowledge, yata yama, he said, all this knowledge will remain very fresh. And I think somewhere Prabhupada explains, that means the ability to apply. Application is very important. Somebody in America, they asked him this question. Swamiji, can God create a rock or a boulder which he cannot lift? It's a famous story. Now, if you say he cannot, that means there is some deficiency in him, something he cannot create. And if you say, yes, he can create something he cannot lift, that means he is weak. There is something which is more stronger than him. So how do you answer this question? It does not happen by Google. You know, this happens only when there is tesham satatyuktanam bhajatam prithvi parvakam buddhi yogam dadami. What is this buddhi? The ability to answer at the right spot in the right way. Prabhupada said, yes, he can make a stone which he cannot lift. And he paused and he said, then he will lift it. Somebody asked him that question when Allen, how do you pronounce Ginsburg or Ginsburg? Allen Ginsburg, right? So somebody asked Prabhupada, is he your disciple? Now Allen Ginsberg was, you know, she was influence also, you know. So therefore he would not be following four regulative principles. It was very friendly to Prabhupada. If you say he is not my disciple, then you are separating him. And if you say he is my disciple, you are compromising with your principle. Prabhupada said, I am everybody's servant. So now this presence of mind, we see in the battlefield of Kurukshetra also when Shalya told Karna, you know, you're shooting that arrow on Arjuna, he said, don't shoot on his neck, shoot on his chest. Now Karna's one principle of his life is never listen to anybody. If anybody would give him instruction, he'd be very angry and upset. He only followed his emotions. All decisions were taken from the heart. I always ask children, where do we take decision from, heart or head? He said, everybody says heart, especially in regards to marriage relationship. Where did you take your decision? Idhar se liya, heart se, dil se liya, dil se. But it is said that one should love from the heart, but decision should be made from the head. So here, and what is that? That is presence of mind. So Krishna, when Shalya told Karna, anticipating the ability of Krishna, he said, don't shoot at the neck, target at the chest. Karna said, don't tell me. No, once I target, I don't change my aim. So Shalya said, "You are not Lord Ramachandra, okay?" But he would not listen. So when he shot the arrow, now what a beautiful, that sight is one of the most fascinating sight in the Mahabharata. Krishna had the ability to communicate with the horses. And these two asses were there, Karna and Shalya, they were fighting all the time. But here Krishna had the ability to communicate to the horses also. Krishna simply pressed the chariot. And when he pressed the chariot, the horses did not say, "I'm not going to listen to you." They immediately bent down. As the horses bent down, the wheels got stuck inside. But what happened? The arrow simply removed Arjuna's turban. Everybody clapped for, you know, it is not that Krishna did not perform action there. He performed. He acted like a chariot driver. And he pressed such a beautiful sight. So therefore that Medha is ability to apply. And that is a great gift of God. When Dharma marries Titiksha, Titiksha is patience. But Titiksha without Dharma creates laziness. But when Dharma marries to Titiksha, that gives rise to Kshema, patience. Patience with Dharma is Kshema, patience without Dharma is laziness and cowardice. Many times in the name of tolerating, we preach, you know, inaction. It's okay, you know, we, being part of the management, you know, if somebody is pampered all the time, and other person is always given a philosophy. In spiritual circle, it is very challenging. If somebody is always asking for more and more, the management gives more and more. And somebody is good, we always give them the philosophy. You know what? Krishna consciousness means tolerating, humility. Like in the Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj came back from the place where they were about to be burned, they got married, they came back. And Vidura had informed Bhishmadeva that Duryodhan is responsible for burning. But Bhishmadeva had a dilemma. What was the dilemma? After all, Duryodhan is also our son only. Yudhishthira is also our son only. His sympathy is okay. But injustice is a problematic. So what happened? In the name of saying that both are equal, unfortunately, consciously or unconsciously, it became injustice to the Pandavas. The Kauravas got Hastinapur to rule and Pandavas got Khandavaprast. What is Khandavaprast? Khandav means it was all Banjar Bhumi. Nothing was there. They had to work very hard. And Duryodhan never changed. He never changed. Therefore, in management, efficiency is very important. In relationship, affection is important. But spiritual organization is a combination of affection and efficiency. Therefore, to harmonize the two is the most difficult one. Like in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna put that situation to Arjun. Bhima wanted Ashwatthama to be killed. Krishna wanted Ashwatthama to be killed in one sense. And Draupadi wanted Ashwatthama to be protected. Both are authorities, right? The temple president says, "Do like this." And the GBC exactly says opposite. So Prabhupada said to follow the contrary instruction of the superiors is not very easy. But Arjuna was able to do both nicely. Rather than killing Ashwatthama, what did he do? He removed that money with the help of Krishna. So in this way, he was almost like dead. So Draupadi was in one sense happy that he was not killed. And Bhima was happy, he's insulted. So the harmonizing the two is the most difficult, but somebody can do it. He is very, very, you know, that means he's very expert and is actually blessed by God. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also we see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after every day taking meal, his servant would massage. So one day, Lord Chaitanya was so tired, his servant Govinda told, "My dear Lord, just move aside so that I can go inside and massage your feet." Lord Chaitanya said, "I can't. I'm very tired." Now how do? You can't step over. Stepping over means you're stepping over Paramatma, and he's Paramatma himself. No? So how do you step over? So what Govinda did was, he put a cloth over Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he crossed, you know, praying humbly, and he started massaging. And the massage was over. After massage, he would go back and take his prasad, but he would not go. And then when Lord Chaitanya got up, he asked, why are you still here? He said, no, you know, how can I cross you? Mahaprabhu said, but you crossed, no? Now, this is also very sensitive. Govinda did not tell Lord Chaitanya that, you know, I crossed to serve you, but I cannot cross to eat. He did not mention that. Even that, mentioning that also is kind of an arrogance. In his own heart, he said, my dear Lord, for your service I may go to hell, but for my pleasure I can't do that. So Kaviraj Goswami writes very beautifully, you know, somebody who is blessed can have this understanding, such a beautiful, sensitive understanding. Therefore, even to say that this is what I did for dharma, is sometimes could be arrogant. Therefore, in the Shastra, it is explained, when you talk about your piety, you know, how Indra has got so many ways to bring you down. Sometime he asked Yayati, what is the extent of your piety? And Yayati started explaining about his piety, he came down. Because when you talk about your piety, all the piety get exhausted. When you self-glorify, or you talk, you know, I did like this, it can cause trouble also. So therefore here, there has to be patience, no doubt. But patience is not cowardice or laziness. Patience is connected to dharma. That gives rise to great progress. In the Mahabharata, again, there is a discussion between Bhishma and Yudhishthira. I forgot this story. Sorry. But the mango story, we can discuss that, you know, Titiksha, recently somebody sent in video clipping because it's the mango season in Mumbai, in Maharashtra, in all over India. Nice mangoes. Prabhupada said mangoes are the, you know, king of the fruits, right? So what happens to sell mangoes, people make them ripen with all kinds of chemicals. You can't imagine how much chemical is used. If you go to grape farms also, you know, they actually soak grapes in the chemicals. They soak, and therefore they look very nice, you know, full, sweet. But what are we doing? We are consuming chemical. So similarly, mangoes, when they are ripened artificially, they create toxin. Similarly, when we try to ripen people artificially, we make them advance when they are not advanced by giving them position. What does it do? It creates trouble. If people live their natural life where they are, they can contribute more. I was talking to one fighter pilot. You know, he was telling me, I was asking him, how do you choose people to be a fighter pilot? They said, you know what, at least 200,000 people apply to become a fighter pilot because they feel it's an adventure. But actually it is not an adventure alone. It's a very difficult job. He said their intention is there, they're intelligent, they are daring, but if the disposition is not there, he said every year we need 30 fighter pilots, but sometimes we keep 15 seats empty. It is better to keep things empty rather than take wrong kinds of people. If a fighter pilot requires so much of qualification, just imagine, you know, somebody, you can't make artificially people saintly. It is a progress. It is based upon slow and gradual evolved progress. If it is natural and people will respect, it is unnatural, it will only cause problem. Therefore, respecting someone, Bhagavatam, now Prabhupada explains that respecting someone if he is not qualified, that is also aparad. Respecting people according to their level is very important. If you respect somebody for something what is not, you know, like Abhiram Gopal Thakur, remember, you know, whenever you would offer obeisances to someone, if they are not actually Vaishnavas, you know, they would burst to pieces. And therefore you would hardly offer obeisances to, you would offer, but not actual obeisances. And in Raghunandan Thakur, right? He was a small boy and then he wanted to offer obeisances to him. And the parents were extremely scared, array, if he offers obeisances then something happens, what will happen? They were running, keeping their son here and there. So very illustrative, very interesting. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, at one point of time, Prabhupada stopped giving people higher position. Yes, in the beginning, in the emergency, it's okay. Abhimanyu cannot be created all the time. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was only one Abhimanyu. He had to be sent at the wrong time, even though he was not completely matured, because there was no other way for the Pandavas to stop Dronacharya. But every day we create Abhimanyus, then there will be no army only. So therefore, patience is very important so that according to the time factor, it can become ripen. The next one. Sorry. Yeah. Ri is shyness, modesty. When it is married to dharma, it gives rise to vinay, sabhyata. No, reform behavior. Right. It gives rise to respect and reverence. Again, we see, I always like this story, when Prabhupada would argue with, he would not argue directly with Mishra in New York, because Mishra would speak impersonalistic philosophy. But Prabhupada would take care of him very nicely also. On a human platform, he would cook for him, he would serve for him. But on a philosophical platform, you would argue with him. Same thing with Prahlad Maharaj, as we discussed yesterday. Prahlad Maharaj never compromised with his philosophy, but never compromised the position of his father. He did not discard the position of his father. Therefore, in India, whenever you want to go to school, when you get educated, one of the blessings is offered that Vijayi Vinayi Bhava. Be victorious, but not at the cost of sabhyata, you know, that modesty. Victory comes without modesty, then that victory is brutal and cruel. Therefore, when dharma is married with Ri, it gives rise to that quality. Therefore, Gandhiji, this was in Gujarat in 1920, Gandhi had a lot of very good understanding of education. As far as I understand, whenever we see a lot of political leaders, the best person who had some understanding about education was Gandhiji, about, you know, education connected to root culture, he spoke about. In 1920, some teachers, they asked Gandhiji, they asked him, you know, what do you think about, how do we train children? So they're expecting Mahatma Gandhi will say, you should train children by making them like Shravan Kumar, the Shravan Kumar story in the Ramayana, because he was very submissive, taking care of his parents. Gandhiji said, you know what? He said, in every house you should create a rebel. They were shocked that this is coming from Mahatma Gandhi, that is telling people to be rebel. He said, what kind of rebel we should create? He said, you know what? Just like Prahlad in the Bhagavatam. He said, Prahlad was against the philosophy of his father, but not against the fatherhood. If you are against the principle of parenthood and fatherhood, what does it do? It creates bad culture. But you are submitting to the parents for the wrong reason, that also does not give good legacy. So Prahlad is able to reconcile between the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the position of the parenthood. So that can happen when there is modesty, shyness and assertiveness. And the last quality, most important quality, dharma when it is married to murti. Now Prabhupada defines murti as collection of all qualities. Murti. Like we say, no, personification of this quality. O murtiman swarupte, in Hindi, murtiman swarup. That means all the qualities which are collected, when that murti, the daughter of Daksha Prajapati, married to dharma, that gave rise to Nar Narayan rishis. That is the substance of all the qualities. So therefore, with devotion, when it is performed, worship to Krishna, in a dharmic way, we discussed yesterday there are three kinds of devotion, in mode of goodness, mode of passion and mode of ignorance. But only bhakti which is beyond guna, that gives rise to Shuddha Bhakti. And Nar and Narayan, Arjuna and Krishna, if you study, there's another question, because I deal, we have a lot of debates with our school children, especially when they become 9th and 10th standard. They don't ask questions submissively. They don't ask questions hoping that if I ask this question to Prabhuji, he'll feel hurt. They ask because they're children. They don't care whether you like it or you don't like. They have the question, they have to ask the question. And you can't tell them, Are, how can you ask this question? If you say like that, they will never ask question to you. They know, Are, this cannot be, he cannot answer. So they have all kinds of questions. I remember one girl, Shridhar Mahaprabhu's daughter and her friend. I teach their school also, their class. They ask this question, why only girls should go to their husband's house? Why not the husbands come to their father's house? Means their, you know, their house. I said, very good question. GBC has never dealt with this question. That's a true question. He said, why? Because sometimes, like many children are only daughters, and unfortunately, it is becoming increased. I answered that question when I went to Bahrain. There were a group of 10-15 children. And the same question was asked by the girls. He said, Prabhuji, why we only have to go to our husband's house? When the rule will change? Why can't they come to our house? Because we need to take care of our parents. Now, how will you answer this question? Right, it's a question and it's a real question. It's a relevant question. It's a practical question because they want to take care of their parents. Because the parents only gave them one sibling. For whatever reason, we are not saying right or wrong. But that's an important question. I remember one brahmachari, he was the only son of his parents. And the mother was crying, Beta, you can't be doing, you are the only son. He said, Mother, it's not my problem, it's your problem. We should have had more than one. Huh? He said, you should have had more. So then she allowed him to become a brahmachari. She knew that, I know, I'm wrong in here. So here Krishna, they asked one question. One of the question was, yes, Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, sarvadharman paridyachya mamekam sharanam raja. But what happened afterwards? Usually what we think that when Krishna surrendered to Arjuna, Arjuna did not do anything. Surrender does not mean that Krishna told Arjuna, you go back and sleep, I will do everything for you. Nothing changed for Arjuna in regards to the battles of life. He still had Bhishma to fight. He still had Dronacharya to fight. He still had Karna to fight. He still had Krupacharya to fight. The conflict continued to remain, but because he surrendered to Krishna, he got the ability to handle those situations. He knew that Krishna is there. Therefore, Nara Narayan, when Arjuna was asked by Krishna, Arjuna, why did you choose me who is not going to fight? You had this entire army. Every soldier was as powerful as me, but you made such a stupid decision, you chose me instead of my army. And Duryodhan, when he realized that Arjuna has chosen Krishna instead of his army, he said, therefore Pandavas will always be ruined. They are not practical people. And you should see this beautiful answer given by Arjuna. What Arjuna said to Krishna is very interesting. Arjuna is not looking Krishna to do for him. Arjuna is looking Krishna to direct him. Krishna to give him vision and I will do the action. Otherwise, we see there is one concept of philosophy which says that you have to work for your perfection. That is ascending process. The Buddhism talks about that. And this is what I've understood about Christianity. Christianity talks about you don't need to do anything. Jesus will do everything for you. But what Vedanta says, Vaishnava Vedanta or Vedanta says, that a living entity is a minor stake. and God is the major stake. Prabhupada writes one purport like that. When the combined Jiva and Paramatma, they cooperate with each other. For whose sake? Not for God's sake. A living entity has to cooperate. Krishna failed in his mission to convince the Kauravas for a peace. Why? Because he couldn't make them agree. Because Duryodhana was not willing to agree. So there is a facility for the living entity to reject the proposal of God. So that responsibility is there with the Jiva. I'll conclude that one king in Mysore, they are very religious king since 13th century, you know, propagated all the facilities for spreading, you know, the Sanatana Dharma. And one of the king, very famous king, was very, very fascinated by good layman, Limbu. You know, kings have certain peculiar habits. So someone brought two laymen to him, one villager. And he gave it to the king. And king told his Diwan, he said, give him two villages. Can you imagine, for two laymen, he got two villages. So he came back to his village and he told his people, you know what? He said, Limbu ka kamal deko. You see the miracle of the layman. He said, my Limbu gave me two villages. Other farmer, other villager said, hey, it is not the Limbu. It is our king who is very magnanimous. Another farmer said, it is true. King is magnanimous, but it would not come without the layman. Our endeavor is like layman. And Krishna's grace is like giving you Vrindavan and Mayapur. But there has to be that effort. When that effort is there, you offer the layman patram pushpam phalam toyam, very little. Then what does Krishna do? He offers us what is supposed to give us. What he wants to give us. The credibility of devotional service. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, there is limitless sentiments, but it is not sentimental. In Krishna consciousness, it is not without logic, but this logic is not dry and trying to find faults with others. The logic which is buddhi and bhakti which is bhava, which is combined in such a way to create a harmony between my existence and the existence of others. And therefore Krishna, when he says in the Gita, very beautiful, and Prabhupada nicely translates, Yumam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvamcha Mayi Pashyati. One who can see Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna, he is never lost and he is never lost him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bo.